Revelation chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The ever-living and life-creating Spirit was the same in that human body suffering on Golgotha. His human face was deformed beyond recognition in the deepest agony, while the Spirit of the mighty Lamb of God burned in deepest hell on behalf of all the sinners that will ever believe and obey the Son of God. The veil of darkness shrouded the sufferer, and no human eyes could see what we deserved, what he endured to satisfy the divine justice and make us free from condemnation, free in him and beloved to the Father. Our Father's eyes did see his Son's Spirit beaming from this offering, bringing life to us dead. In the Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8, David is blessing the Lord for forgiveness, redemption, execution of judgment for the oppressed, and the abundance of mercy. In the verse 5, God's goodness is renewing the youthful vigor to make his people like an eagle. In Isaiah 40:31, waiting upon the Lord renewed their strength. To all that trust and obey the Master, his Spirit gives this great eagle's power to walk on his path and not to faint, to run in his race and not get weary, to mount up by the wings of his grace as eagles to his higher revelation, where his throne is blissful in his eternal glory. They adore him in endless gratitude. The part of this vision in the verses 6 and 7 reveals so much of our Savior's character and his great work of salvation. The Lord makes this vision and its meaning and significance open to our understanding by presenting it in segments and in time delays. The Father and the Son have eternal glory and majesty in one another. Eternal King of Kings offered himself before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter 1:20, as our only ransom, and came to us as one of us. He accomplished the entire redemption, never once displeasing his Father. Our Heavenly Father never had any doubts that this eagle will soar up to his glorious throne. Verse 8. The four living beings have six wings each. Their eyes see in every direction. They never need rest from their delightful glorification of God. One exclamation of holy ignites the next one. They reveal God's eternal character. He is since ever, now as ever, and there is much, much more he will manifest. These four beings glorified the one on the throne by the threefold Holy and by his name Lord God Almighty. He is Holy Lord, possessor, owner of the universe. His ownership is holy, unique, All other lords, including the arch-tyrant Satan, are false owners. They claim ownership over us unlawfully. They constantly try to enslave us and to keep us in the bondage of sin and death. Our true and holy Lord is the only one giving to us true liberty. All the idols of the world are false, lifeless gods. Our God is the ever-living one and the life-giving one. The idols and the godless rulers have some power men ascribed to them. Even the devil has only as much power as fallen humanity gives him by believing in his deception. The true Almighty does not depend on humanity, not even on the heavenly hosts. We all depend on him and on his might. The subjects of earthly rulers serve to earn their benefits. Our Lord saved us and gave us life. We could never earn the eternal values he granted to us in his grace. We can never pay him back, not even a microscopic part of his grace in Christ, even with the greatest success we might dream of. Yet, in Christ he gives us grace and privilege of doing his will and delighting in adoration of him. Our God is truly holy, holy, holy. These four beings glorify God in the past, present, and the future time, all at once. When we get into his eternal glory, we shall see Christ as he is, and glorify God in all his measureless dimensions. Presently, we behold his glory from the first word in the Holy Scriptures to the last word in this Revelation book. In our personal experience, we can see the work of the Almighty as far as our memory can reach. We can glorify our Creator and Savior for doing all to His Son's honor and for His redeemed soul's blessing. Trusting and obeying our Lord, we have greater eyesight and insight than any of the lost sinners can ever have. As we grow in faith and knowledge of the Son of God, our horizon is expanding, and so is our adoration of Him and our delight in Him. The prayer He is teaching us, "Thy kingdom come," He is also answering. I heard and read many ideas about who these beings are. The verse 6 gave us some details about them. They are in the midst and round about the throne. God is on the throne also. These beings are presented in this vision as four individuals, yet all four are together as if they are blending. I perceive that we might be trying to see beyond our limits or perception. God gives more than we can take in. As the Lamb of God is the Lion of Judah, and both symbolize the Lord Jesus Christ, not telling us that our blessed Redeemer is a physical, material lamb, nor lion, nor any other creature in the animal world. So the Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove on the river Jordan, but at the throne, in chapter 4, is presented as seven flames. The four beings in and on the throne manifest the character and the mighty deeds of the Almighty, and for that purpose are part of the vision given to John to write for us. That is a vision, not what we name a physical reality. On the other hand, the physical reality of Leviticus is only foreshadowing the true eternal reality in the resurrected. The Lord Jesus says in John 6:63 that his words are the Spirit and the life. In Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28, the bread is his, Christ's body, and the cup is his blood. That bread was never the flesh of his body, nor was the cup his blood. Are we safe assuming that these beings in the vision are some heavenly lion, ox, a man, and an eagle? We can find similar appearances in some visions of Isaiah. In chapter 6, verse 2, a pair of wings covered their faces, another pair covered their feet, and only one pair was used to fly. An amazing message to us, still in our flesh. Two parts of the Lord's provisions to keep us from self-will and pride, and one part to do our Lord's bidding. The bliss and splendor of God's throne is revealing God's own majesty and beauty to ignite our fervent adoration, thus to keep us from idleness, aimlessness, and idolatry. Satan has no power over Christ's zealous worshippers. Living in Christ is a continuous, delightful adoration, even in persecution and suffering. Verses 9 through 11. When the four beings give glory, honor, and thanks to the eternal God on his throne, the 24 elders bow down to worship the Almighty. They lay down their crowns at his throne to honor him. They say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Thou art the creator of the whole universe. All is created and exists for thy pleasure." Our God's pleasure and glory is to bless us in his Son. In Luke 15, verses 28 through 30, we see that the evil spirit would eagerly trap us into self-centered greed and envy. In chapter 19, verse 16, Christ's Spirit speaks from the heart of the faithful, "Lord, thy gift, thy gain." 1 Corinthians 15:10. The 24 elders did not clutch to their crowns. They did not sit stiff on their seats, expecting the Supreme to elevate me higher than the rest. The crowns the King gave them, they laid down at his throne, thus confessing, "Every good gift and blessing came from him," and they are filled with gratitude. I have heard some opinions concerning their number, 24. Since the Lord named first 12 apostles, and they, the apostles, elected one to replace the traitor, some students studying this book were inclined to conclude that the remaining 12 were from the Old Testament times. We all might be wrong, or a little childish. We remember our Savior's answer to James and John in Matthew 20, verses 23 through 28. "The Father knows the best." If the Father's will is, one of the 12 may be Abel, the first martyr, and another one, the little maid, in 2 Kings 5. Let the Lord reveal all of his marvelous work to us when we get there. Eternity is all exciting. Perhaps the number 24 is signifying constancy, continuous adoration, and let it be an encouragement to us. Worship our Creator and Savior day and night. The four voices shouted threefold, "Holy." That brings to my mind our Lord's words in Matthew 28:19. "Teach the whole world the message of salvation and truth." The entire portrait of the throne of God is amazingly symbolic. There are no details about the throne. The four beings are part of the throne. When gifted gospel ministers join their talents to glorify Christ with one voice, voice of united zeal for the Lord, they prove that they see the Almighty on the throne. if I have any good gift or ability to honor my master, to bless my brethren, and to reach out to the souls in bondage, I have nothing but what the Lord has given me in His measureless grace to serve Him and in His love and mercy experience lasting blessedness, greater than anything the dark world in sin can ever offer. The four voices are thrilled in their proclamation of God's glory. The 24 elders in ecstasy of rapture cast themselves before the throne, overwhelmed with this eternal truth, "Thou art worthy." This joyful shout, "Holy, holy, holy," seems to stop for just a short moment to give the elders an opportunity. That moment they bow to the ground and adore the worthy one. We remember the creation. God blessed the new world with the joy of living and multiplying. By their joy in His blessings, they adore Him. He rejoiced in their joy. That is the character of our Creator. We remember God's Lamb on Calvary. Only eternal love can suffer so much to open the heaven to us, to bless us with the everlasting life in His mighty but gentle embrace. How much He rejoices in our rejoicing in Him. Truly He is worthy to have all glory, all honor, and to keep His authority over the entire universe eternally. Nobody can rule with love as Jesus Christ. The victims of Satan's deceit accuse God of tyranny and cruelty. A perfect God of their design would be one that lets them revel in evil while He is constantly helping them to sin more and more. They may not pursue their line of thinking further, lest they face the fact. If allowed to sin unchecked, they destroy all, even themselves. The wrath of God and His awful judgments are only His holding back His grace from those that refuse to receive it all their time on earth. Of all condemned, there will not be a single soul that received God's grace. And among all the redeemed souls, there will not be one deserving His great, marvelous salvation. Some groups and a number of individuals used this book, as also some other parts of the Holy Scriptures, to create or to confirm their existing doctrines and convictions. May I suggest that the doctrines written for us in the Bible are universally correct in the right place, proper application, address, and precision. Attempts of elevating and accelerating some teachings or commandments above the level and position these points already have resulted in isms, sects, occults, and gradual or rapid departure from our God's Word. Framing some parts of the Gospel as the most important or the more important makes the rest of the Gospel secondary. Our Creator and Savior has no part of His teaching less important. Rightly dividing the Word, 2 Timothy 2:15, we might understand as the more important Bible teaching the part we neglect or intentionally ignore. To correct our walk before the Lord is more important for us than for anyone else. I observed some opinions making prophecies based on some verses, obviously not intended to unveil the future. Even the clear and well-established prophecies about the Messiah's coming and ministry were not understood by the majority of religious Jews, but only by the few faithful ones. Luke 2:25-38. I perceive God's glory in our seeing His foreknowledge after we see the fulfillment of His predictions and revelations. Like the entire Bible, this book also is very usable and applicable in our daily walk and for our learning our Father's guidance and reaping the abundance of His blessings in our heart, the obedience. God's glory and majesty, the splendor of His throne, and the ecstatic glorification by all present is His all the time. The entire universe is full of Christ. The last book of the Bible is revealing this colossal truth to us. If we have not seen His glory before we studied the Revelation, can we see Christ's divine glory now? If we cannot see His glory and grace in this last book, we need to realize this significant fact. Our serious need is to start learning the Word all over again. From the first word in this book, the first book, to this one we just approached. More importantly, we must amend our ways before the Lord to see His ways. Jeremiah 7. If our experience with this book is just the opposite, if we beheld God's glory in Christ and in all of His work through the entire history, if the testimony presented to us in the Revelation widened our horizon and deepened our insight, if this book flared up our zeal for the Lord, we might obtain a similar opinion. We might feel a desire to go through this book very prayerfully, that we might rush to the beginning of the Holy Scripture and start all over a new feast of the bread of life through the entire gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the new life, He gives amazing sights in His creation and in His salvation. The threefold holy can echo in our hearts and be manifested in our daily walk. Every encouragement from His Word we receive in gratitude and lay down at His feet in our adoration. We realize that He has created us to rejoice in glorifying Him, and we find in Him greater joy than anything the world can ever offer. He heals our infirmities, for He is our tree of life, Revelation 22:2. He turns our stumbling blocks into stepping stones by the three pairs of wings, mercy, grace, and faithfulness. With one pair our sins are covered, with the other our shortcomings are covered, and with one pair we fly to please and to adore Him, our eternal God.